Geek Radio Daily for Anti-Friday. And hey, look!
But hey, we're back. Yay!
So the main board had a problem, the backup board had a problem, thought they were the same problems. They were not. They just seemed like it. And that led to many dead ends trying to solve it. But oh my goodness, it's crazy. We're back and it's here, and I guess I should listen to it first before I say that. Anyway, we're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know us from all the various places you do. The folks bringing it to you today, the lady that gets so many things done, including, unbeknownst to most, is a pet psychic. That there's the Flintstress.
East Pet's third most popular pet psychic. For being precise, I'm actually a pet parapsychologist. Pet psychics are frauds.
And, you know, that's just absolutely the true facts of the whole situation. Me, I'm the guy that had so many wonderful people decide to try to help us out and everything because I asked so sweetly. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
My computer's broken and I need someone to fix it.
What happened on this fine day, yo?
Well, in 1775, the Continental Congress establishes a postal system for the colonies, and Ben Franklin is the first postmaster general in Philadelphia.
1887, the first book written in Esperanto, the international language invented by Ludwig Zamenhof, is published.
1957, the USSR launches the first intercontinental multi-stage ballistic missile. The technological advances that make this feat possible will lend the USSR the initial advantage in the coming space race.
1958, the United States Army launches Explorer 4, the fourth successful U.S. satellite.
1961, the Japanese film Alakazam the Great, based on the manga by Osamu Tezuka, becomes one of the first anime films ever to be released in the United States.
1963, SENCOM 2, the world's first geosynchronous satellite, is launched from Cape Canaveral on a Delta B booster rocket.
1969, scientists first examine the 46 pounds of rocks retrieved by Apollo 11 astronauts from the moon in sample return containers. The first rock box is opened. It was a rock box. At the vacuum laboratory of the manned spacecraft center's Lunar Receiving Laboratory, Building 37, at 3:55 p.m.
1971, NASA launches the Apollo 15, the ninth manned space mission of the Apollo program, the fourth to land on the moon. The crew will remain on the lunar surface for a longer period than previous missions in order to focus more intensely on scientific research. You know, find more rocks. It's the first mission equipped with a lunar rover.
All the rocks. 1973, designed by Admiral Harriman Nelson, the nuclear super sub USOS Seaview, with its transparent hull plating window nose section, is launched and begins her voyage to the bottom of the sea.
1982, Federal District Judge George Layton rules that Mattel Electronics has infringed on patents held by Magnavox on the Odyssey video game system.
89, Robert Morris becomes the first person to be indicted under the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act of 1986 for allegedly creating and releasing the first computer worm to the worm ever released. He will be convicted and sentenced to 3 years of probation, 400 hours of community service, and a fine of $10,000.
2000, United States District Judge Marilyn Hall Patel grants the preliminary injunction against Napster Incorporated requested by the RIAA. They want their money!
Right. 2002, Australia's High Court rules that mod chips, which allowed PlayStation video game consoles to play user-created game discs and video games for foreign distribution, don't violate copyright laws that outlaw devices designed to bypass copyright protection technology, because Sony failed to prove that such copyright protection measures were included in the console to begin with.
They weren't. 2006, Dell Incorporated opens an outlet store in North Park Center in Dallas, Texas. The 3,000-square-foot outlet will be open 7 days a week, displaying 36 models, including TVs. It won't sell merchandise, acting instead as a product showcase and on-site service location, but customers can place orders online at the store.
Yeah, that was crazy. 2007 San Diego Comic-Con is held July 26th to 29th at San Diego Convention Center in California. It was dubbed the year Hollywood took over the con by media outlets due to the unprecedented number of film properties such as Iron Man, which was marketed at the event. Over 125,000 people attend this event. This year's event marked the first time that tickets sold out for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
And Sunday, 2010, WikiLeaks releases over 92,000 documents detailing the deaths of hundreds of Afghan civilians killed by coalition troops during the occupation of Afghanistan to Der Spiegel, The Guardian, and New York Times, and one of the biggest leaks in U.S. military history, and we all tried to spread the word. Birthdays?
Kate Beckinsale is 48 from Underworld, Total Recall.
Olivia Williams is 53 from Rushmore, The Sixth Sense.
Jason Statham is 54 from Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, Snatch, Transporter, Italian Job, and The Meg.
Tim Schafer is 54, creator of Monkey Island, Full Throttle, Grim Fandango, Psychonauts, so many wonderful things.
Jeremy Piven is 56, from PCU, Cupid, and, Entourage.
Sandra Bullock is 60, from Demolition Man, Time to Kill, Working Girl, the TV series everyone forgot about, and Gravity.
Kevin Spacey, 62, The Ref, Usual Suspects, Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil.
Nana Visitora 64, Kira in Deep Space Nine, Wildfire, and was Mrs. Voorhees in that new Friday the 13th movie.
Susan George, 71, from Straw Dogs, Mandingo, and Enter the Ninja.
Helen Mirren is 80 from 2010, The Cook, The Thief, His Wife, and Her Lover, Killing Mrs. Tingle, The Madness of King George.
Robert Colbert is 89 from Doug in the Time Tunnel.
No longer with us, born in the state in 1856, George Bernard Shaw, Irish playwright, wrote Man or Superman and Pygmalion.
Born in 1875, Carl Jung, I don't even know, founded analytical psychology.
1895, Gracie Allen, comedic genius, wife, and partner of Mr. George Burns.
Born in 1900, Pat Walsh, best known for playing Nico, head of the Winged Monkeys in The Wizard of Oz.
1909, Vivian Vance, best known as Ethel Mertz on I Love Lucy.
Born in 1921, Gene Shepherd, American storyteller, writer of A Christmas Story.
1922, Blake Edwards, writer, director, Breakfast at Tiffany's, The Pink Panther series, Victor Victoria, many more.
1922, Jason Robards, Once Upon a Time in the West, A Boy and His Dog, All the President's Men, Magnolia.
1923, Jan Berenstain, created the Berenstain Bears. For you Mandela people.
Mandela effect. 1926, James Best from Attack of the Killer Shrews, Ode to Billy Joel, Roscoe on the Dukes.
1928, Stanley Kubrick faked the moon landing.
In 1936, Mary Millar, Rose on Keeping Up Appearances, Madame Giry in original Broadway, Phantom of the Opera. But none of that's going to be on TV tonight on CBS. We get a rerun of The Neighborhood, Bob Hart's on Shola, Young Sheldon, United States of AI, and NCIS New Orleans.
It's not about Weird Al. ABC's got The Bachelorette, then David Koechner and Rasheed Jennings on the new Celebrity Dating Game.
On NBC, we get the Olympics, yay, diving, men's synchronized platform final, gymnastics, men's team plus swimming finals, triathlon, and women's finals.
Because just
the Tokyo
women's
Olympics.
Final sounds very violent.
Of
Fox
triathlon.
Has a new Hell's Kitchen, Housebroken, and new Duncanville, but I think the reruns really.
On the CW, Max, Michael, and Isabel try to accurately determine if the stranger in the cave, who boasts a familiar face, is a friend or an enemy, as Liz settles into her new life and career in the vast, sprawling West Coast city of Los Angeles. On a new Roswell, we get a new Republic of Sarah.
Freeform has cast away, because it's not called Castaway. Cast away.
Oh. AMC, having secured a place in the home of her intended victim, Francis begins to consider the details of her murderous plan. Strainsways begins to suspect that his predecessor's handling of Francis' case was not fully above board. On a new The Beast Must Die.
Animal Planet showing Jaws and Jaws 2. Okay.
Sure. Bravo. Chef Matthews struggles to concede with a quest. During the second charter, Courtney and Lexi grow closer to each other due to the familial hardship, and the deckhands form stronger bonds as they discuss their developing crushes on a new below-deck Mediterranean.
So many. FX has Men in Black International, but if we're going to watch anything this fine evening, it will be the Lifetime Movie Network, because after her friend commits suicide, a woman takes over the senior math class and enrolls her daughter in the school, but the mother fears for her daughter's safety when she befriends the resident mean girl who is obsessed with becoming prom queen.
No.
Yeah, Zoe McClellan, this evening will be your psycho prom queen. The wonderful Billy Flynn takes a look at what happens when Salem's favorite couple takes off. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. When Chad's family hits a hard patch, he also faces a new challenge: elementary school. His above his age ways makes it hard for him to fit in, and not just with his classmates. To make matters even more interesting, he develops a crush on his new principal, Marlena. Some of the kids think Chad is a maniac, but he is more of a beach bum. True story. Hashtag Chappy. Forever.
Looks like you've got mail waiting.
Hi, geeks. Sorry I don't have much to say, as mostly I was listening on my drive home and have very poor recall for the spoken word. Given how he's treated his employees, Bozos can eat a pound of warfarin. And wouldn't it actually be Bezos S... dash, 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 dash. Loved all the rest of the story, the jokes you told about how other food-related paintings. I recognized your stingers from Doctor Who, but I couldn't tell which episode. I think David Tennant was playing the Doctor. When I Googled Doctor Who, The World's End, all I found was this, and he sent a link so I should look at it and stay safe. That is from Bill. Well, yes, Bill, it was Doctor Who.
Hey, Bill.
I mean, I thought I just had to give you the show itself. You want the episode as well? Come on, man. I'm lazy. And by the way, if that Chad sounded familiar, yes, it was last week's, but we didn't get to play the rest of the week, so we couldn't start on Tuesday on a Monday, could we? No. That'd be just weird. But if you think you know, now that you've heard it twice, drop a note. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, send a voicemail, send a text mail message. Just use the numbers.
510-GRD-CREW.
A thrice time at listening would not hurt either.
Do you like to study? Are you kind to creatures of all shapes and sizes? Do you believe in monsters? Then Baron Davis and the Monster Rangers want you! Monsters hide in plain sight. Boys and girls can see them, and so can you if you just use Baron Davis's patented Imaginate process involving self-discipline, wonder, and candy. Monster Rangers are kind, honorable, spooky, thrifty, and irreverent, while the evil Dr. Duke Davis and his plug uglies are mean, full of bunk, and your run-of-the-mill mullygrubs. Join us to help defend the land of Monstru. Monsters around the globe are in trouble and need our help. So if you've got the moxie, then log on to your nearby terminal and go to monsterrangers.com. Believe, study, protect.
Hi, this is Gareth David Lloyd, and you are listening to Geek Radio Daily with Billy Flynn.
With everyone. All right, Gareth, I'm just going to have to come see you again, and we'll have to fix that. And again. And again. That sounds a little weird, doesn't it?
Okay. Give me a roll.
Warriors, unsheath your weapons. Magic wielders, raise your wands.
Let me check my polyhedral dice. Turns out I have frost giant strength. Look it up.
And, you know, once you've got that mastered, go use it in various games from DriveThruRPG, including...
Oh, well, things have gotten plumb weird since the days of the Seven Days of Night brought an end to the war, revealing the presence of an evil thicker than the darkest molasses that'll make the devil himself blush. You can turn tail or take the fight tonight, and you ain't about to be called Yeller. So saddle your horses and clean those irons, because there's something slithering across the dark frontier, and it's dead set on making vittles out of you and your ragtag posse. That's Weird Frontiers RPG from Stiff Whiskers Press.
A banshee queen holds a court of trapped spirits prisoner within her cursed castle deep in the swamps. The adventurers will be drawn into the spirits' horror-filled ghost stories, battle the enchanted furniture gone mad, and discover the truth behind the banshee queen's curse. Sort of like Beauty and the Beast. The adventure takes place in the DM Tools Chest Bastion domain of dread setting that easily fits into any existing campaign. You can change the names of people, locations, anything that you're going to need. It's Wrath of the Banshee Queen from the DM Tool Chest.
Mm-hmm. Well, how about an extraterrestrial presence? It's real. And the agents of an interplanetary consortium monitor us from sites hidden throughout the world. All the while, they watch humanity strip mine its planet to fuel the growth of populations and economies. If there's a plan to avert environmental and social disaster, the aliens operating out of a subterranean base in the Antarctica didn't get the memo. As much as some of them might want to help, the faceless bureaucracy they're a part of prevents them from doing so. Directive. Rather, they go through the emotions of their job, which mostly involve abducting people who won't be missed, subjecting them to probes and other exams, and then eventually returning them to their homes throughout the heartland. Pay what you want for GEBB110, Nacho Best Plan, from Skirmisher Publishing.
You are a monkey on a space station that sits on the border of the Terran hegemony and the Forbidden Sector. You were trained to do space stuff, and you are much smarter than your ancestors, but you were still a monkey who does monkey stuff. Something has gone wrong in the station, and you and your fellow monkeys are the only ones who can fix it for free. Try out Space Monkeys on Danger Station from Graph Paper Robot, and then maybe
yes,
they'll take your jet pack.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News! Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Around the start of the year, we told you about Ta-Nehisi Coates and J.J. Abrams working on a black Superman movie, and people lost their minds. That particular film will feature an actor of African descent in the role of Kal-El. However, Val Zod, one of DC's pre-existing black Superman, may be getting the spotlight first.
Meanwhile, Calvin Ellis and Harvey Dent look on. Not Two-Face, I took an Earth 9 tangent.
Michael B. Jordan is developing a Val Zod Superman miniseries for HBO Max, and he's not committed if he's going to play the role, but if he does, that's going to make him one of the few actors to play three major comic book characters in live action. He's been the Human Torch in Fantastic Four and Killmonger in Black Panther.
And he needs this to increase his 50% good comic book movie ratio.
True. In DC multiverse, Val Zod is the Superman of Earth 2. Within his universe, Val Zod and Kal-El were both among the survivors of Krypton, but when Kal-El seemingly perished, Val Zod took up his mantle as the new Superman. The other major black Superman in DC continuity is Calvin Ellis, the Superman of Earth 23. He looks a lot like the 44th President of the United States and happens to be president in his world as well. Meanwhile, Nicolas Cage is eating jelly beans and still hopes Tim Burton's going to give him a call.
Well, speaking of soups, DC's ongoing War World Rising story is trying to get to the essence of the original Man of Steel at a time when he's reevaluating what kind of presence he wants to be in the universe.
Does he want to be George Reeves? Does he want to be Christopher Reeve?
Dean Cain.
Nobody wants to be Dean Cain.
War World Rising prompts Superman to make the difficult decision to leave his adoptive home planet, and his hard decision to leave is his faith in his son Jonathan factors into why he made it.
Oh, so he decided to be Brandon Routh or Tyler Hoechlin.
But as the series goes on, what Superman's going to be grappling with is whether the person he is in the present, the sum of all his previous selves, is who he actually wants to be.
Oh, so what? He's going to start a band and turn his supermobile into a convertible?
Right? Get a new haircut? Well, DC is giving Superman a midlife crisis. Starting with Action Comics 1033, the print will be slightly larger. He's getting a redesigned costume, rumored to contain a girdle, and Jimmy Olsen will have to turn up the volume of his signal watch.
A Tesla user recently posted a video clip on Twitter that showed his vehicle was having an interesting issue. It seems that Tesla had a hard time determining a traffic light from other natural phenomena. The video in question shows the Tesla consistently mistaking a low-hanging moon for a traffic light.
I thought that only happened during a blood moon.
In the clip, the moon appears to be especially yellow and low in the sky, which probably contributed to the issue. It's not a regular problem for Tesla, but it's enough of one that drivers want it taken care of, especially with the moon getting funkier lately.
It doesn't see the sun as a yellow light?
The issue comes to light after Tesla has announced that any user can subscribe to Autopilot's FSD feature for $99 to $199 a month rather than paying that full $10,000 when you buy the vehicle.
What does it do if it sees the aurora borealis?
Tesla's Autopilot system has faced its fair share of challenges since its introduction. It's confused road lane markings. It's had trouble recognizing a fire truck is parked in a traffic lane. These issues are well within the realm of understanding for a new technology. Engineers can anticipate plenty of problems, but they can't anticipate them all. So in this case, it's thought that maybe it's the programmer's fault. Lead object identifier Tom Cullen has been accused of seeing many things as M-O-O-N.
Wow. Well, Kaseya, the IT management software folks, are requiring customers affected by the recent and massively evil ransomware attack to sign non-disclosure agreements in order to obtain the decryption key, a move that could shroud the incident in further mystery.
It's hard to build good word of faith if people can get in trouble for raving about how you help them.
Well, in fairness, these agreements are not unusual in the cybersecurity industry, but they could make it harder to understand how the attack occurred. The revelation is the last step in Kaseya's tight-lipped response, since it announced it had obtained a universal decryptor from a trusted third party.
So they paid the ransom and just don't want folks to know, didn't they?
The company declined to comment on whether it paid for the key in a statement. However, some experts say it's possible the Russian government could have given Kaseya the key after pressure from the Biden administration. Others claim that Kaseya might have paid Reeville's ransom early on, after which the criminals went into hiding.
That just means they moved into a different place in Russia.
Cybersecurity experts say that some of Kaseya's clients were frustrated when the company announced that it obtained a universal decryptor because they had already spent time and resources trying to restore their systems on their own, albeit with mixed success. The news about the decryptor came 3 weeks after the attack. The real worry is if the decryptor came from a Nigerian prince who would also like them to allow him to transfer, you know, a few million dollars into their pension fund.
And on a sad note, Jackie Mason, stand-up comedic legend whose career spanned several decades, became the template and poster child of all sorts of Jewish self-deprecation, died Saturday at New York's Mount Sinai Hospital at the age of 93. His friend, lawyer Raoul Felder, confirmed Mason's death. Mason built his career out of political incorrectness, with his Jewish-themed humor, social commentary, and pseudo-angry persona earning him a spot on Comedy Central's 100 Greatest Stand-Ups of All Time. He had originally been a rabbi, but despite completing his rabbinical studies and heading congregations, Mason knew his true calling was in comedy. Somebody in the family had to make a living, he told the Jewish News in 2015. Every night on stage, I feel like I'm standing up and giving a sermon to my people, so it's quite similar.
Yep.
Mason began his comedic career in the mid-1950s, appearing through New York nightclubs and the resorts in the Catskills, then bustling area of upstate New York that produced scores of famous comics. He expanded his audience via national appearances on The Tonight Show and The Ed Sullivan Show, and through his two albums, 62's I'm the Greatest Comedian in the World, Only Nobody Knows It Yet, and 1963's I Want to Leave You with the Words of a Great Comedian. But The Ed Sullivan Show brought him both fame and infamy when the comedian allegedly pulled out his middle finger, pointing in different directions, saying, "Here's a finger for you, a finger for you, and a finger for you!" Sullivan immediately banned Mason from the show for his obscene gesture on stage, as well as insubordination and gross deviation from material agreed upon. Mason's contract with The Ed Sullivan Show was terminated, resulting in a lengthy lawsuit between the host and the comedian. And that should be a movie. Mason's career spiked in the 1980s thanks to the popular Broadway show The World According to Me, earning him a Tony and an Emmy, and his appearance as the obnoxious Jack Hartonian in Caddyshack 2. But in 1992, he got himself an Emmy for the role of Rabbi Hyman Krestovsky, the disappointed father of Herschel Schmoichel Pinchas Yershim Krestovsky, Krusty the Clown, on The Simpsons. Right. And that role, of course, mirrored his own life. He said, "Doing comedy and finding new material is very easy for me. I'm an avid reader. I get through at least 4 newspapers a day, and I'm a TV news junkie, so by the end of the day, with the world in such disarray, it's very easy to find humor in a dozen situations."
You might as well laugh, or else you just gotta cry.
And thank you for all those laughs, sir. Yeah. We certainly do appreciate them. GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Non-Derivative Works, United States 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter. Stop by the website at geekreadodaily.com. And hey, Patreon folks, again, we had, new board and stuff. So again, you keep this thing going. Thank you so much, because otherwise we might have had to miss another week or so. Nobody was talking about that at the moment.
It doesn't take much if you've thought about contributing to our Patreon. A couple dollars a month. It all adds up.
And hey, you get to hear the Cutting Room 4 stuff, which reminds me, I need to get you the one from last month. Working on that. Obviously, the one for July is probably going to be a little short, a little sparse. Yeah. But the one for June is fantastic. Drop us a note. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com or send a voicemail, send a text message to
510-GRD.
And we'll talk to you later.
Well, we have nothing big and flashy to show you this week.
Blah, 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 blah.
Good night, suckers.
Primary power offline in 30 seconds.
My father was a rabbi. His father was a rabbi. His father's father... Well, you get the idea. My father was the most respected man in the Lower East Side of Springfield. People would come from miles around to ask his advice.
Reb Krestovsky, should I finish college?
Yes, no one is poor except he who lacks knowledge.
Rabbi, should I have another child?
Yes, another child would be a blessing on your house.
Rabbi, should I buy a Chrysler?
Could you rephrase that as an ethical question?
Is it right to buy a Chrysler?
Oh, yes. For great is the car with power steering and Dynaflow suspension.
Papa, when I grow up, can I be a clown?
No, clown is not a respected member of the community.
I want to make people laugh.
Herschel, life is not fun. Life is serious. Seltzer is for drinking. Not for spraying. Try is for noshing. Not for throwing.
But Papa, can't...
But nothing. You do as I say, or you'll get such a zits that you won't even know what hit you.